I'm David Poyser, a journalist. Welcome to the 23rd episode of PESPOD, the insider's guide to the network of European public employment services. That's PES for short. Part of the key to success of any PES is working with partners, whether that's regional governments, municipalities, the private sector, or trade unions. We all know it can be difficult, but when it works well, the results really pay off for our partners in the regions, for employers seeking the right people, and obviously for us, the PES. Talking about the need to work with partners is easy. Doing it is more difficult. The Netherlands specifically has made notable progress recently in working with partners in their regions and municipalities. One of the people behind this effort is the head of the Dutch PES, Martin Kamps. He's chair of the board at UWV, Social Security and Public Employment Agency of the Netherlands. And we're very glad to have Martin with us today again. Martin, hello.
Hi, David. Good to see you.
Martin, first, could you tell us about the current labour market situation in the Netherlands? What are your current challenges and priorities? And how's the Dutch PES addressing these? Also, what is unique about the Dutch PES?
Yeah, sure. I can tell here a similar story that many European countries can tell, that we have a very tight labour market. We have an extremely low unemployment rate of 3.7%. And at the same time, we have a large number of vacancies that so far remain unfilled. At the same time, on the supply side of the labour market, we have a considerable amount of untapped labour potential. For example, individuals who are long-term unemployed, people who have occupational disabilities, or people that one reason or another are discouraged from participating on the labour market. So there are opportunities for people looking for a job, but there are also opportunities for employers looking for people to do the work that they have and to fill the vacancies. So this is actually good news for both sides, but to bring them together, that's not going automatically. There's not some kind of invisible hands. So we need to support, nudge, and also sometimes direct people who are looking for a job, and employers to come together, to bring them together. Now, there's also another thing that's going on the labor market, and also there we are not unique. We have this twin transition on the labor market where the demand for labor goes hand in hand with new skills, and there are new job opportunities created. So this requires that we target for job seekers and employers alike, and one way to bring them together, but also to support them in reskilling and upskilling. To bring supply and demand together, we need collaboration between the public and the private parties on the labour market. And we have been experimenting with this during the COVID crisis. We have created regional mobility teams where we have seen how we actually can cooperate between the different parties on both sides of the labour market. And we've been quite successful in that, but at the same time, we've seen some challenges, some barriers that have been hindering actually the cooperation that we've seen. An important barrier for success is that traditionally, the type of benefit that a job seeker receives is determined by the job support that we can offer, or it determines the job support that we can offer. So, for example, if you have an unemployment benefit, your support to finding a job will be different from someone who is on social assistance. So then you will have different kinds of job support. So this is due to the different legal structure behind it. It's also due to the fact that the unemployment benefit is organized by the UWV, the Dutch PES, where there's only one in the country. There's only one UWV working nationwide. And social assistance is organized by the municipalities. We have 342 municipalities. So you can imagine that they are organizing their job support not all in the same way, in the same manner. So our challenge is actually to bring this together, to make the job support that a person gets is not anymore dependent on its benefit or on whether you're supported by a municipality or UWV, but that we look at what you need instead of look at the benefit that you have. And that's the future that we're going for.
Thanks, Martin, for the overview of the labour market situation, particularly in the way you noted the challenge of a unified approach between the UWV and the municipalities. But how has the Dutch PES sought to overcome this challenge?
We have to reduce the number of parties involved on the labour market. So the minister has nominated 35 labour market regions, where in these labour market regions there are 35 centre municipalities, which function as a focal point in this labor market region. They are actually the contact point for UWV. They are the one that we work with. So we have reduced the number of organizations that we deal with, the differentiation from 342 to 35. And we are organizing our efforts on the labor market in these 35 regions. So that's where we are now focusing on. How can we organize it together with municipalities, with private parties as well, to see, to really help job seekers and employers, regardless of branch, regardless of whether you're public or private, whether you're a municipality or UWV, whether you're education or whether you're a temporary work agency. Everybody needs to work together under this one heading within the regional labour markets.
Thanks, Martin. Could you briefly summarise the concept of regional work centres in the Netherlands for listeners who might not be familiar with them? And can you tell us why they were introduced?
In these 35 regions, we are introducing regional work centres. That's where we work together. And they are actually a one-stop shop for employers and a one-stop shop for employees. So that's the place to be. The place to be to find a job and the place to be to find an employee to fulfill your vacancies. And we actually have three objectives in the regional work centres. First, we want to improve the existing services of municipalities and UWV and bring them together with other parties. That's actually what I talked about. All the differences that we have, the scattered landscape that there is, we bring that together on one place in the regional work centres. So everybody has one place to go. There's one method of career advising, one method of training and practical learning, based, of course, on experienced. And we will also include current institutions, for example, dealing with learning for people, also support for employers. We have what we call employer service points. They will also be included in the regional work centers. So in doing so, we are reducing the number of other organizations that are dealing with bringing supply and demand together on the labor market. There's one stop shop in the regional work center. So that's an important objective of the regional work centers. And we are working on that already now. And we are doing that. We can do that without a change in legislation. This is just doing the work that we have to do in a better way. Now, the second aim is to be able to start from what someone needs when we provide labor market support. What do you need? It no longer matters whether a job seeker is entitled to a certain benefit, whether it's an unemployment benefit, whether it's social assistance, whether it's disability benefit. We look at the person, what do you actually need? And that's what we're going to do. In that way, we're going to help you. So we need to deallocate the funding for services and bring in actually the human factor. So not look at the law, but look at what someone actually needs. Now, you understand that we want that very much to do that, but we need a change in the law, and the government is currently working on that. Now, the third ambition is to be able to provide support not only for people who are unemployed or disabled or whatever, but actually for everybody who is looking for a job. So not just people on benefits. We have to explore the possibilities here because this is new. We want to support people from work to work. We want to avoid that people get stuck in a job, that they're unhappy, that they get ill, that they get unproductive or whatever because they don't like their job. And we want people to come to the regional work center to ask for support and to help them into another job so that they do not drop out of their job. And then we see them back in some kind of benefit, but we want to see them back in a new job where they can support themselves and society and employers as well.
The PES memorandum for the next European leadership talks about the importance of collaboration with partners. Which stakeholders at other organisations will be involved in delivering the regional work centres and why? For example, could you tell us about the public-private cooperation in that context?
Yes, I can. I think to say a few words about the PES memorandum, the European leadership is already there, the new leadership, and I'm happy to see that the memorandum was well received. I'm also very happy that we made that memorandum as a PES network. You're right, the cooperation between the different partners is a very important issue there. And we see that there are many partners that cooperate in our regional work centers. And this also varies, it varies a little bit by region, because not each region has the same parties who are dealing with the labor market. But in general, it includes, of course, first the municipalities, Well, given the fact that we have 35 regions and 342 municipalities, there are about 9 to 10 municipalities per region. And within each region, there is one center municipality, which is the main focal point and who actually brings all these municipalities in the region together. Second, we have the social partners, that is employers, but that's also, of course, the unions, who also are, for example, in From Work to Work, very active supporting employees. So they are a very important factor there as well. Temporary work agencies, they are a big party in the Netherlands. They play a very big role on our labor market, also in bringing people to work. I think about one third of the people who find a job from an unemployment benefit find this job through a temporary work agency. So they are a very important partner of UWV as well. Now then we have the educational institutions, public and private, who are very important in supporting people with the right skills, helping them to make a change to a different sector and find the right skills for that. And of course, then we are ourselves, we are an important part of that as well as UWV. And together with the central municipalities, we, so UWV and the central municipalities, have the main responsibility to set up the regional work centers, where the central municipalities will take on the role of conductors. So they are important to bring all the parties together, but we together have the public role to set up the regional work centers. So that's how we work together. And we do that on a regional level. We also do that on a national level. There will be a national labor market council at national and regional level to bring all the parties together to develop the strategies and the policies and to see that within the region, everybody is aligned, and also at national level, the different regions are aligned as well.
Can you share an example of successful cooperation with private partners?
Yeah, there are many, of course, but there's maybe one that is in particular interesting, that is about a temporary work agency. It's called Heroyam. It's founded by some young entrepreneurs in the east of the country. And their objective was to help Ukrainian refugees to find a job on the Dutch labor market. And they have been very successful in that. And they have now expanded their services to all newcomers in the Netherlands, also from other countries. And for many of their employees, and that certainly was the case for Ukrainians, they were actually the first Dutch employer. And they were extremely successful in mediating this specific target group, to linking them to employers, to helping them to jobs, and also to support them further on the labor market. So this is an example of where a private party, temporary work agency, helps people to find a job, to introduce them on the Dutch labor market, and to support them in finding their way in our society.
How do regional centres support addressing skill shortages in the labor market, for example, in the context of upskilling and reskilling?
Yeah. Well, shortages is, of course, one of the main challenges that we face on the labor market. And reskilling and upskilling is a solution, but it's only one of the solutions that we see. We believe it's not only the task of the Public Employment Service to deal with this issue, but something that should be addressed in the ecosystem at large. So it's broader. It's also a responsibility for employers, and it's a responsibility for other organizations as well. Now, we have produced a document with 34 solutions to address shortages. And in this document that we distributed among employers and temporary work agencies and educational institutions, we give concrete examples, concrete suggestions how you can deal with the labor market shortages. And there are three categories there. And the first category, it's not very surprising, is to tap new talent, where we explain where employers can, for example, find new talent that possibly with some re and upskilling can start working at the organization. You may think there of new ways of recruiting and new ways of hiring people with a distance to the labor market. So it requires a new kind of thinking from the employers. Now, the second category is to organize work differently. Harry provides some ideas on how you can organize in such a way that you can create new jobs, for example, at starter level, or you can become more attractive as an employer by providing more flexible work hours. Or you can, for example, imagine that if you cannot find someone who can do all the tasks, you can find two people who can both do one part of the tasks. And that's a new way of organizing. It also requires a new way of thinking, of looking at their own organization, their own way of working by employers. Now, the third category is to inspire loyalty and commitment. And maybe that is the most important section, because where employers can look for new people, it's maybe more important to keep the people that you have, to keep them enthusiastic about working for you. So in this section, employers can find a lot of information on how to keep their employees engaged, how they can stay committed to their work. And well, this is a very interesting document. It's very popular under employers. We also have an English version, so for listeners, we can put a link to this document in the notes of this podcast. I think it's very helpful for everybody.
Thanks, Martin. And for people listening, the full report is available in English via the PES Network website. Martin, could you share a success story of regional work centres?
Yes, I can. There is quite a recent success story that actually did not start with a positive, that did not have a positive beginning, which is often the case. There was a car manufacturer in the south of the Netherlands. It's actually the only car manufacturer that we have in the country that had to lay off 4,000 of its employees due to lack of orders. And this manufacturer is established in a region where unemployment has always been significantly higher than in other parts of the country. And this was actually the biggest layoff in decades. So there was quite a challenge to ensure that all these people would find a job where they would not be able to find a job with a competitor as a car manufacturer, because it isn't there. And where many of these people had worked for this company for 20 or 30 years. Many of them were over their 50s. So at the same time, they have a valuable experience in working in a more technical environment, but they had to make a career switch to find a new job. That was inevitable. So we were happy to see that this was one of the first regions where we had a regional work center. So we could experience how we could use the possibilities that we have there. So there was a joint effort by the municipalities, by UWV, by the employer, by the unions, by educational institutions to bring these people back to work in one way or another. And an important example is healthcare. You wouldn't expect people from the car manufacturing industry to find a job in the healthcare sector, but that's what happens. We have people who worked in the factory for decades. We train them into taking care of people who are severely disabled. And the employer who hired them was aware of the challenges that that come with retraining, but he mainly focused on the opportunities. And as a result, these people have now a job, a new job, in a new environment, in a totally new sector, the healthcare sector, and they have a new purpose in life. So that's a very good example of how we actually used all the instruments that we have, the collaboration that we have, the regional work center that we have, to bring all these people into work. And after 6 months, about 85% of these 4,000 people already had found a job, a new job, which is, I think, a great success. It's due to the fact that we have many shortages on the labor market, but it's also due to the fact that we have been able to support these people in many ways to find a new job in new sectors with new employees that they may not have thought of before. We're very enthusiastic about that.
Lastly, what are the next steps and milestones for regional work centers?
We have so far established about 9 regional work centers. We are now actually stepping up to 35, but important is that we get the legislation right. So there's a need for better aligning national and local priorities and policies. That's where we cooperate on the different levels, national and regionally, to bring these policies together with municipalities in the first place. We need a data sharing policy so that we can share data between all the parties. That's quite challenging, and there we need to improve our cooperation and legislation. We will also need to measure the results that we are doing. I mean, we have the anecdotal evidence that we have, like from the car manufacturer, but we need to measure the real results so that we can ensure that we learn from each other, but that we also can show why these regional work centers are such a good idea and how they are functioning. And there's also a financial issue. So we need to reallocate funds in the new system from the different parties in a different way. And also for that, we need legislation in place to ensure that that we can do that.
And what are the plans for 2025?
Well, 2025 is actually in transition year. I talked about legislation. It's not there yet. We expect it to be there in 2026 somewhere. And in the meantime, we are just moving on in establishing regional work centers. We have 9 at this moment. One has been established just this week. So that's so we're just moving on. But we are heading to 35. I think at the end of this year, we'll have many more. But ultimately, there will be 35 in 2026. We also need to work together, get the different policies aligned, and work hard on the legislation that the ministry is working on now. And we're supporting them in that, of course, because we have to be aligned there, that what we need in practice will be laid down in legislation as well. That's what we're going to do in 2025.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today, Martin. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your insights on regional work centres. On the subject of the PES network, I'd like to remind everyone listening about the PES Network Knowledge Centre. If you go online, there's lots of useful resources and publications to help you in your PES. And don't forget to join the PES Network LinkedIn group if you haven't already. Just search for PES Network on LinkedIn and apply to become a member. Once again, many thanks to everybody at the PES Network for contributing your expertise, enabling us to make this podcast happen. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email at empl-pes-secretariat, secretariat, at ec.europa.eu. PESPod was produced by the European Commission with technical support from ICF. Thank you all for listening. This is David Poyser signing off until the next PESPod.